Okay, welcome to September 8th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and for the next 5 minutes, I will talk about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move here, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check out the website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call, area code 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up and face the flags if we have one and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And moving on to today's program. New Amsterdam becomes New York. Subterranean oil discovered in Pennsylvania. And Cam Newton breaks a record with his 44th touchdown. All right, so now let's get started. 1664, New Amsterdam becomes New York. But make no mistake, New York City will always have the roots of the Dutch. After all, they've got the city's seal showing a Netherlander trading a navigational thingy to a Native American, though some would argue that's just a pilgrim, which might be true, I don't know. Anyway, why shouldn't they come to America? I mean, why shouldn't anyone from anywhere in Europe come to the North American colonies? The aborigines of the land understood capitalism better than any Europeans, probably to this day, actually. Artifacts show that for many thousands of years and beyond, the Native Americans understood trade, barter, and negotiations better than anyone in the feudal systems and aristocracies and hodgepodge guilds. According to historian Emery Dean Keoki and K. Marie Porterfield, by between 500 and 2000 BCE, the Native American Indians had established a vital network of trade. The ultimate entrepreneurs from sea to shining sea, from the north to the south, they bartered knives, arrowheads, flint, veggies, copper, pottery, and so much more. The Shoshones, who had actual trade fairs in present-day Wyoming, traded pumpkin, squash, and tobacco to every group from the Utes and Flatheads in the Northwest and Southwest, to various groups from the Rocky Mountains to the Missouri River Valley, and countless others. And then there's the Sioux and how they love their corn. So yeah, why shouldn't Europeans move to the North American colonies? Not only could they escape religious persecution, they could also make a good amount of money. The Virginia Company and the Massachusetts Bay Companies were limited liability companies, LLCs, and the concept of a company with liability that was limited meant that multiple investors could pool their money together into a system, and if the system failed, the investors wouldn't lose everything. So here's one reason why Europeans shouldn't come to America. When they did, most of them barely survived, and most likely would not have if it weren't for the Native Americans. And so, in 1624, the Dutch West India Company settled in what they would call New Amsterdam. And fur was where it was at. Beaver fur could be made into waterproof hats and other apparel, and the Dutch would get to work trading wool, needles, and axes, just to name a few things. In this bustling city of New Amsterdam, over a dozen different languages and dialects were spoken, kind of like today, just kidding. But despite that, everyone had one thing in common, and that was everyone wanted the beef. It was the beaver that everybody would be talking about, not the religion. Only in New Amsterdam could a rabbi and a Quaker walk into a bar and there would be no punchline to that joke. The melting pot of the world was simmering nicely. But as we all know, America was also forged in war, and it wouldn't be long until conflicts arose between the settlers and the Manhattan tribes of the Algonquian, where over 1,000 people on both sides would perish in the fighting. When a British fleet showed up at the harbor on this day in 1664, with cannons ready to attack the city of 18,000, New Amsterdam Governor Peter Stuyvesant did not challenge the British, but rather gave up the city rather peacefully. Other than a different flag being hoisted in the town square, and the name of the city changing to New York, Very little had changed, as people all over the world would come for a better opportunity and the even playing field of capitalism. 1859, here are the headlines on the New York Tribune. Discovery of subterranean fountain of oil. Edwin Laurentine Drake, born March 29, 1819 in Greenville, New York, would become America's first oil driller. Though an educated engineer, he definitely was not. He had a very simple school education, actually, and when he was in his mid-30s, he, along with his wife and child, settled in New Haven, Connecticut. He pursued various jobs in the railroad industry, including a conductor, which is cool because he got to go to work and say things like choo-choo. He met a couple of petroleum investors named George Bissell and Jonathan Eveleth, who needed someone to check in on other oil-rich properties in Titusville, PA. Oil in those days wasn't really used for much except for lighting kerosene lamps or as medicinal purposes like the Native Americans used. Drake, though relatively young, developed some kind of illness that would keep him from doing his job as a train conductor, but he still enjoyed the benefits of being a conductor, such as free travel by train. This free travel got Drake the job for his new oil investor buddies, and that is how Edwin Drake moved his family to Titusville. Though he'd never served a day in his life in the military, Eveleth called Drake Colonel, perhaps to try and give him some clout in his sleepy town of Titusville, population 250 people, many of them lumberjacks. The fake title of Colonel didn't help. The townspeople still didn't respect Drake, and plus he didn't know what he was doing. See, oil was easy to get on the surface, but to collect it was difficult and time-consuming. Well, Drake didn't have to be an engineer in order to think to himself, what if we just use a drill? You know, like with rock salt drilling. Once again, the townspeople of Titusville mocked Edwin Drake, saying his efforts for drilling for oil was futile. It was called Drake's Folly, actually. They could only drill a couple feet per day. Nothing there. Next day, nothing. Maybe the townspeople were right. Maybe Drake was just an idiot after all. At 69 feet, there was still nothing. Not until he went down to 69 and a half feet on August 27th, 1859, that oil began to seep upwards. Welcome to the boom town. Seemingly overnight, Titusville's population went from 250 to 10,000. More than 50 hotels and 3 churches and surrounding towns were springing up from absolutely nowhere. Drake drilled 2 more holes for Eveleth and Bissell, showing the world how he revolutionized the way oil comes out of the ground. His new empire would make him and the next unlimited generations wealthier than their wildest dreams, right? Then how come most people have never heard of Edwin Drake? Because he neglected to patent his invention. Drake didn't get a penny. Worse, his condition grew and he was confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his short, miserable life, accomplishing nothing. Penniless, he moved from Pennsylvania to New York to Vermont, then back to PA, where he got the state to agree to give him a pension. These days, Edwin Drake's invention is nonetheless honored, both at his tomb at Titusville. Also, the Drake Well Museum features a replica of his oil rig and engine house. 2016, Cam Newton breaks the record with his 44th rushing touchdown. But then again, Cameron Jarrell Newton has been scoring touchdowns since his rookie season as a Carolina Panther. In fact, Cam threw for 400 yards in his very first NFL game in 2011, blowing out Peyton Manning's debut record of 120 yards. He would finish his rookie season with 4,000 yards and 14 rushing touchdowns, beating Steve Grogan's record from 35 years back. In 2015, Cam would lead the Panthers to an unforgettable 15-1 season, and a trip to the Super Bowl, where the New England Patriots would win 14-10. In his next season, on this day in 2016 against the Denver Broncos, Cam would beat Steve Young's old record of rushing and passing for touchdowns for the 32nd game. Young's record was 31 games of rushing and passing for touchdowns. Yes, on this day would be Cam's 169th game, and he would run one in from the 2-yard line to get his 44th NFL career touchdown, tying Otto Graham's record from the early 1950s, before the NFL merger. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for September 8th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. New Yorkers, are we glad that the Yankees are called the New York Yankees and not the New Amsterdam Yankees? Regardless of the name of the world's fifth most largest city, if it was New Amsterdam still to this day, would the language of the land still sound like, "Hey, can't you see I'm walking here?" What about that Abraham Lincoln quote? You can fool some of the people. No. You can fool some of the time, all of the people. No. You can fool all of the time, some of the people. Ah, forget it. Anyway, you get the idea. Or what about Oprah Winfrey? My wife says she's the best person on the planet. If it's true that Oprah owns Texas as well as Santa Barbara, California, then if she's not the most important person, she might be somebody that's pretty darn important. Star Trek fans, I will tell ya, I think the last Star Trek movie I really liked was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Now that was a great movie. That's how old school I am. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck with those. And don't miss tomorrow's program. I'll talk about California, time traveling, Nolan Ryan, Adam Sandler, and so much more. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.